Hey, this is Nick Gelso, co-owner and founder of CLNS Radio. Today's podcast is brought to you by Lynda.com. Lynda.com is the home of expert video tutorials. Because you're such a loyal listener of CLNS Radio, and it's 2015, you want to kick the new year off in style, claim your free trial today from CLNS by going to Lynda.com/CLNS. That's LYNDA.com/CLNS. Now on to your regularly scheduled program.
Well, I would do the Celtics post-game show intro music. The problem is my iPad is freaking out, and getting it all situated is not the thing to do because we have no time. An unbelievable game tonight here on unbelievable. I don't know how other way to explain it. I'm technology difficulties right now. I have minimalist things going on right now. Just letting you know, if you're trying to call in live, just bear with me for 1 second. The Celtics win tonight 117-116 over the Toronto Raptors in Toronto in overtime. Marcus Smart with the game-winning basket here late. I cannot tell you enough how incredible, how huge, how this game, this win was huge for this team. I don't know who's on hold, but I'm going to get to you right now. We're just going to get some instant caller reaction. Line 717, who are you? Hello.
Hey, it's Mike in Pittsburgh. You said it exactly right. This team just refuses to be buried. Every time you think that they're out of this race, a playoff race, that they've maxed out what they have left, they surprise you even more. And, you know, this is the type of win, you know, that can propel them into the playoffs. You know, they're a half a game out now. You know, they got a couple of days here to rest, you know, until, you know, the nationally televised game Wednesday against the Pistons. And just like you said, I can't say it any better. Just a huge, remarkable win tonight.
In fact, I don't know if you've been keeping up with the scores, but I've been keeping up with, I got March Madness sitting in front of me right now with Wisconsin up with about 15 minutes left. I'm watching this game right here. I mean, you talk about March Madness. This is April Madness right now. You talk about April. But anyway, the point is I don't know if you've been watching the games, but Miami lost today to Detroit. Miami just was in the eighth spot a second ago. The Celtics just won again, 117-116. We have hosts on the line here in a second. I'll get to them in just 1 second. But the Celtics have won. They're now 35-42. They now have a half game mark up in the A spot. But like you said, they play Detroit here in about 3 days. This is the second game of a back-to-back. This is just, I don't know how anyone else can explain this. I got some hosts on the line. Just hold on a second there, sir. I'll get right back to you in a moment. I believe 860. Is this a co-host? 860.
Yeah. What's up, guys? It's Munger here. It's a Scotsman, and I called in a little bit earlier, but I'd have been too fired up with the officials to call in earlier, so I waited till the game was actually officially over.
I was watching the second quarter here. Mike Munger again calling in. I was watching the second quarter. The end of the second quarter. You didn't need to tell me. There was a phantom call on Bass where DeRozan drove the basket. He didn't touch him. Evan Turner and DeRozan, you name that one. That was another phantom call. Also, the double technical on Tyler Zeller when it came to the Valanciunas. That was just a mess all by itself. And then the double tech because Isaiah Thomas, right at the end of the first half, if you were watching this game through and through, Isaiah Thomas drove the rack, got absolutely slammed to the ground. And you can even hear him on the broadcast. He's like, "Are you serious? You're not going to call anything?" Especially after the previous. I'm telling you, man. I hate to rip on the NBA real quick before we get to the breakdown of the game. This has just been an insane, absolutely insane basketball game. So many implications coming into this one. I don't think Celtics fans saw this 3 months ago, but we're here now. Five games to go. 0.5 up in the thick of the playoff race. And again, like I was saying, ripping on the NBA, but this is WWE stuff right here. I mean, if you watched the final 2-3 minutes of the first half, you saw some of the most fishy, just questionable, not even questionable, just absolute joke of refereeing. It was almost as if the referees just completely disregarded what rules were in the NBA. You talk about an absolute joke of an officiating crew. I mean, I'm going to sit here and get on that high horse like with you, Mike. This officiating was absolutely terrible. Granted, late in the ball game, the officials swallowed their whistles for the most part. And on top of the fourth quarter, which was absolute. I mean, you talk about the Midwest. You talk about two guys going at it, and Evan Turner with the spinorama, and DeMar DeRozan coming right back at it, back to back times, and then coming into overtime. Again, 107, 104. It kept going back and forth, back. And for, I don't know how any other way to explain this. This is probably one of the biggest games, if not just the biggest game, but the best game. And like the previous caller just said, this game by itself could turn this. I'm telling you, this could be the game that could propel this team. I'm not saying they won't get into the postseason. I think this will propel them getting into the postseason. But we talked about this last week on Sunday. And we talked about this team and its potential coming up over here in the next year or so. This is the kind of game they'll look back on and say, we competed with the top-tier team in the Eastern Conference, and we could match them mano-a-mano on the second night of a back-to-back in the middle of a playoff race. What else can we do? I mean, come on now. And I just wanted to leave that real quick. Mike, again, the final score, 117-116. Mike, if you want to jump in, just feel free to jump in at any time. DeMar DeRozan tonight, 38 points, 1 rebound, 3 assists. I will get to the callers here in just a moment. Just insane stuff. Again, March Madness is going on. I got this kind of going on right now. Wisconsin's up 52-46. I got another show I'm preparing for as well. But the point is, this game was insane. First of all, let's just break down the game real quick before we get to the callers. Because callers, if you're on the line, feel free to call in. The phone number is 347-215-7771. If you'd like to talk Boston Celtics again, now they're half a game up coming in down the stretch. Literally, I'm talking down the stretch they come. And honestly, coming into this game, you saw it. Again, my name is Chris Morrison, CMO Buckets. If you'd like to call in the phone number 347-215-7771. This game, when they first both these teams came into the first quarter, both teams looked absolutely tired. I mean, you talk about two teams looking like they had been completely beaten down. I mean, granted, both came in after a second half of a back-to-back late in the year. This is about game 77 on the books. I mean, you're talking like getting down to the nitty-gritty, and everyone looked tired. I mean, Vasquez shot an air ball within the first like minute. 4 or 5 minutes of the ball game. I mean, that's all you need to know about the exhaustion level of these guys. DeMar DeRozan is like, he was playing in slow motion. Guys are saying that on the broadcast. There's sloppy play everywhere. Players were kneeling all over the place when it came to, you know, after timeouts, and it was only the first quarter. It's like, man, you talk about just sheer grind mode by these guys right now here in the NBA late in the year. That's exactly what's happening. And that's exactly what is going on. Toronto led at the end of the first quarter, and like I said, it's just getting late. It is getting late in the season. These guys are just getting real tired. Toronto led at the end of the first quarter, 24-15 at the end of one, and that was when the second quarter came about, and that was when the Celtics started making their run. Kelly Olynyk, he made some crazy plays today. I don't know if this has been a norm for him at all, but he made these plays today. He looked like a giant shooter. He looked like, I'm not saying Kelly Olynyk is this player, and he has these capabilities, and he has this talent. I'm just making an observation. Nobody needs to freak out. But Kelly Olynyk looked like a very spry and young Dirk Nowitzki, driving to the basket, playing a bit like a big man, driving the hoop, and getting all the baskets he wanted, you know, coming from the three-point line down, playing like an actual guard. He looked like a big, small forward slash shooting guard type of player today, the way some of the plays he was making. He made a couple of those there in the second quarter, and the intensity ratcheted up for the Celtics. They went on a 12-0 run with about 7:30 left in the second quarter, and then also they added it up. They got at one point, it got to a 17-2 run. You talk about just absolutely annihilating the Toronto Raptors coming into the second quarter. Again, everyone, they looked tired, but coming in, the Celtics found a way to get it done. And at the half, the score was tied 47-47. Tyler Hansbrough was perfect. He finished perfect when he fouled out in overtime. But he had his 3-for-3, 6-of-6 from free throws, 12 points. DeMar DeRozan at that point had 17 points. Just to give you an idea of what his second half looked like, he had about 21 points in the second half, including overtime. So DeMar DeRozan went off today. Granted, if you want to make the calls, like I was saying earlier, some phantom calls late in the second quarter, which were I'm the same agreement, Grants, with Munger. Just absolute joke of officiating there in the final 2-3 minutes of the first half. I mean, all you got to do is go back on YouTube, if it's ever up on YouTube. But, you know, the NBA, they won't put it up on YouTube because they don't want to see any kind of fishy stuff that was happening. But that was completely fishy, completely bogus of what happened there late in the second quarter. Going into the third quarter, the Celtics came out firing. They first 3 minutes, they went on a 9-1 run overall. Within the first 6 minutes, they went 17-5. Toronto got their first field goal in the third quarter, halfway through at about the 6:15 mark. Boston finished the third quarter up 81-70. They're playing like they wanted that eighth spot and playing like they needed it. And again, the refs were not a factor in the second half. I mean, you can make the case in overtime, maybe a couple of plays in the fourth quarter late that the refs may have factored. But outside of that, they weren't really necessarily a big factor in, like, you know, there the end of the first. But going into the fourth quarter, this is where really the game got going. And again, if you'd like to call in and talk about this game tonight and just react on what happened, 347-215-7771 in the fourth quarter. This, honestly, this was hang on time. You talk about an absolute roller coaster. If you know me, I am not a diehard Celtics fan, but watching this game and knowing that I'm covering them tonight for this post game show, it was amazing. You talk about the power of sports and the power of what it can do to someone and make you feel. I started like holding on. Like I started feeling that feeling of being on that roller coaster and holding on for dear life. Toronto coming into the fourth quarter, they started attacking early. In the first 3 minutes, they went on a 7-1 run to make it 82-77. Apologize. Boston was up by 5 at this point. Direkpo then made a giant poster on Valanciunas. Just a huge dunk in the lane. Again, though, Toronto kept pushing. 90-85 under 6 minutes. 5 minutes left, 91-87. 4 minutes and 21 seconds, 93-90. A minute keeps going by. Then all of a sudden, it's Boston's only up one, 95-94 with about 3 minutes to go. And then Isaiah Thomas hits a huge three-pointer, 98-94. At that point, you're thinking, all right, we got this in the bag. We got about five games to go, about a week and a half till the postseason begins. You know, 2 weeks from tonight, people, think about this. 2 weeks from tonight, the NBA postseason will be going. Will the Celtics be in it? They're in the hunt right now, and this game was absolutely just insane. The next thing you know, after Isaiah Thomas hits that play, this is where you really thought the game was over. With about 2:19 left, Brandon Bass got a huge pump fake on and one play on Valanciunas in the lane, 100-94 with about 2:19 left in the ball game. That was when you kind of thought, okay, we got this. This is our year. We're going to the postseason. We're going to see Atlanta. We got this in 2 weeks. We're going to be there. Not so fast. Came back. The Toronto Raptors, 100-98. They made a quick play, and that was when Evan Turner and DeMar DeRozan made two unbelievable plays late in the ball game. They both made four combined. Evan Turner made a spin flip play that needs to be all over Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. I don't care whatever social media outlet, it needs to be online. That was an unbelievable play, cutting it, making it 102-100 Boston in a crucial moment in the ball game with about 32 seconds left in the ball game. Evan Turner found a way to get going, but then DeMar DeRozan found an easy way to get to the rack, tying it back up 102-102 with about 30 seconds left. Evan Turner again, a 15-foot pull-up from the free throw line, the left elbow, with about 12.8 left. Boston taking the lead back, 104-102 with about 12.8 left. Then DeMar DeRozan again, another driving bucket to the rack, a little bit of a floater there, but about 5-10 feet out, 6.9 left to go, tied up 104-104. And then obviously, well, as sometimes has happened with this Celtics team, they made a questionable call, or at least Isaiah Thomas did, starting off the play at the top of the key, and he came up and missed the three-pointer, sending the game to overtime, where you talk about your heart coming out of your chest. I mean, this game described heartthrob, I can't explain it. It's just the things that happen in sports. If you watch this game in this overtime, it started off slow. Both teams weren't really doing much. And then all of a sudden there was that debatable Toronto Raptors ball, which I think you're talking about, Mike Munger, where Toronto made that. They got the ball back with about 3:41 left when it looked like it went off a Toronto basketball player, and the refs decided to keep it and give it back to Toronto instead. The next thing you know, Lou Williams hits a three-pointer. It's 107-104. You're thinking, we're about to get hosed. We're about to get hosed this late in the year by a team that's already in the postseason. We're the eighth spot. We're trying to battle just to get in. And then the next thing you know, the Celtics start to chip away. And this is, okay, and as a casual basketball fan, I'm not a casual basketball fan. When it comes to casually watching teams such as the Celtics or, you know, these other low-marketed games that aren't on nationally televised games, watching a game like this, it made me recognize, and I don't know if this is the new Celtics, I don't know if this is the new way to go about it, the way the Celtics chipped away late in this overtime period after such a terrible referee call late, making, and then Lou Williams hitting a 107-104 three-pointer with about 3 minutes to go, I saw a Celtics team that I'm not trying to blow this out of proportion because this is the post-game show or anything, but I'm dead serious when I say this reminded me of a Boston Celtics team from about 5-6 years ago, a team that would grit and battle their way to the end. The next thing you know, Kelly Olynyk comes down the floor. He shoots two free throws. It's 107-106 Toronto. They're still up. And then the next thing you know, there's a great defensive play on Lou Williams. Evan Turner comes back and puts another spin cycle on the Toronto Raptors, causing them to call timeout, and they take the lead, 108-107. The next thing you know, Toronto comes back. DeMar DeRozan hits a sick mid-range jumper with about 1:40 left in the ballgame to make it 111-108. Again, back against the wall. Moment in the game is in the press. You know, everything is right there. Your back's against the wall trying to get into the postseason. And DeMar DeRozan hits this mid-range that you're thinking, oh, here we go again. Do I need to hold on? Do I need to find a way to get this, you know, get this game to another level, get it to another overtime? Isaiah Thomas finds a way to get to the free throw line, 111-110. He makes both of them. It's now 111-110 Toronto. Then DeMar DeRozan comes back down. He gets his two free throws after he does what he does to try to get to the free throw line. 113-110 again. Your heart is sinking. About a minute left to go. Tyler Zeller comes down with about a minute to go. He makes one of two free throws. 111-113. You got about a minute left. The Celtics are only down two. And then and Marcus Smart, you talk about an absolute draino of a three-point shot. This guy came down. And I don't know if this is how Marcus Smart's played all year, but you talk about a rookie that has completely turned into the player that I think every single Boston Celtics fan has wanted to see. Marcus Smart made the shot, I think, honestly, the shot of the year. This three-pointer, with the way this game had gone, again, back and forth, up and down, you name it, 114-113, an absolute dagger of a basket, knowing how hard Toronto had been playing throughout the entire game. And then obviously Toronto getting the ball back with about 20, 25 seconds to go, trying to come down. Toronto misses the shot. There's a double tip. Guy gets the ball back out. I believe Ross tries to shoot another three. He misses it. Brandon Bass. You talk about the staple of the Boston Celtics over this rebuilding period. Brandon Bass making an absolutely gigantic rebound. He goes back, he shoots one of two free throws, 115-113. You're thinking it's over with about 18.2 left. You know, you're thinking it's over, blah, blah. Then the next, again, this is a roller coaster ride, people. Lou Williams, a three-pointer, 4 seconds to go. 116-115, and you're thinking, oh, here we go. We got absolutely screwed because, you know, Toronto got the ball back. And then, you know, all these other things are starting to happen. Not going our way. Oh, the refs suck. You know, you're thinking all these things. And then the next thing you know, this was what was Marcus Smart's shot of the year. The game winner, Marcus Smart, gets the game-winning basket, 117-116. The Boston Celtics are 35-42 with 5 games to go, 2 weeks, a week and a half left in the regular season, 2 weeks till the postseason begins. Mike Munger, what do you got?
Well, here's the thing. Look, I'm just going to – I've had a chance to calm down, but it doesn't matter. because I didn't get a chance to speak on the game last night, which I will, you know, eventually at some point in the show. So yeah. I'm going to focus my attention and all my vitriol and hatred towards what happened tonight. Look, the fact that Toronto was even allowed to be in this game was a disgrace. Because
yes.
Anytime that you get a 38-22 free throw discrepancy when you're shooting just as many, if not more, jump shots than we were, you know, I mean, both teams were attacking the basket, but no, they weren't really attacking any more than we were. I mean, it's just
yes.
ridiculous. 56 points in the paint for us, 54 for them. Three pointers, it was just, it was 26-23, so both teams shot a lot of threes. It was just flat out disgraceful. And people can sit there and call me a conspiracy nut all they want. I don't give a damn. They can sit there and say, oh, my friend Tim Donaghy was full of crap because they're wrong. I don't give a damn. If you look at the factors that were coming into tonight's game, Brooklyn got their asses kicked. Miami was in a tough game and a struggle against Detroit. And if they lost, they would have went down. Paul George is coming back. The Celtics are on the cusp of making the playoffs. If you look at all those factors, the one thing that the NBA does not want is to see us knock out one of its little marketing pride and joy babies like Brooklyn or Miami, or knock out a potential come-from-behind story like the Indiana Pacers with Paul George. And believe me, I love Paul George. I think he's a great player.
Right.
But what the hell does that have to do with us? All right? You can call it a conspiracy all you want. The fact of the matter is this. Tonight was just more evidence and more bullets in the chamber of the gun proving that the NBA does not like the Boston Celtics. I don't care if people agree with me or not. If you don't right now, you're wrong because you didn't see the last two games. Because they stole it from us last night against the Bucks, and they did everything in their power to steal it from us tonight against the Raptors, period. I mean, DeRozan hit some amazing shots. Lou Williams hit that one amazing shot at the end. But none of those should have mattered. The game should have been over in regulation. It should have been the 20-point win. We should have seen Phil Presti. We should have seen Gigi Datome. I mean, it was just disgraceful at the way this game was officiated. I mean, for the referee, 4 feet away from the play, looking right at the out-of-bounds line where the ball went clearly off of Patrick Patterson's hands, for him to call it off of Kelly Olynyk. I mean, not to sound funny or crude here, but one guy is black, one guy is white, and it was the black hand that knocked the ball out. Jesus Christ, what is this clown looking at, for God's sakes? And then, you know, all three referees conference, and, you know, like, even the announcers, you know, it wasn't even Tommy tonight. It was Cedric Maxwell and Mike Gorman, two of the most, you know, unbiased guys that there actually is. It wasn't Tommy. It wasn't even Scal, who I like because he's kind of like Tommy. It was Gorman and Cedric Maxwell, who generally speak the truth. They were getting pissed off about the officials tonight. It was just, when they said, and you heard it in the background, they said, oh, it's going to be Raptors ball, call's going to stand, and then you heard the groans coming from those two, and then Lou Williams went down and hit that three. You know, I was like, this is the way it's going to be. You know, there's going to be 5-6 games left. This is the way it's going to end for us. You know, there's been a couple games where we shot ourselves in the foot, but there's just been too many games where you look at the way the officiating has gone in our game, as opposed to the officiating some of these other games where some of the other teams fighting to get in the playoffs are getting call after call after call. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And anybody that can sit there and try and argue with me and tell me that the NBA doesn't care more about money and marketing than it does actual good basketball hasn't been watching the NBA for the last 20 years, okay?
Right.
Hasn't been watching the NBA since 1984 when David Stern took over and all of a sudden the individualization of basketball came into play as opposed to the best team wins. It went from marketing the Celtics versus the Lakers, Lakers versus the Pistons, Pistons versus the Bulls. It went into, oh, Jordan versus the Pistons, Jordan versus Drexler, Jordan this, you know, Shaq this. And all of a sudden LeBron this, Kobe Bryant this, Lakers this. I mean, Jesus, God almighty. It's been like this forever and people just don't believe me. Despite all the evidence that's come down over the years, and I was actually hoping that Adam Silver would change it. He clearly doesn't. He has no intentions whatsoever of fixing the officiating. There was supposed to be some ex-military guy that came in to be an independent, I guess you can call it arbitrator or contract, some independent guy to come in and look at everything, and he's done absolutely nothing. It's been absolutely useless. There's been nothing done about the officiating in the NBA. It's a disgrace. It is terrible. it's the one sport where if you actually pipe up and talk about the officiating, no matter how bad it is, chances are you're going to get fined. It just tonight's game was the epitome of everything that I've said since I've been with CLNS, and I haven't been wrong once, you know, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm going to continue to not be wrong. And, you know, that's just what made this win that much sweeter, because the Celtics just stuck a big middle finger in the face of the NBA, said, eat it. I'm not going to get into the deep, you know, the Scottish torture chamber swear words here on the air because it's a family show. But they said, eat it, NBA.
Yeah.
You know, they just said, you know, take it and shove it where the sun don't shine. You know, we saw what, you know, we saw what the refs did for Duke earlier. We're not going to let you do that for us. You know, it was just one big mess. Absolutely one big mess, and I was so happy. I generally stay, you know, remotely calm during the games. I'll get upset about calls, this and that, but I stay remotely calm. I was getting fired up like I used to tonight, and the fact that Marcus Smart hit that shot, and I was pumping my fists and, oh, you know, screaming at the TV, it made me feel like we were back in 07-08 when this team was on the way to smashing the Lakers for the championship. So that rant is over. Give me a second to catch my breath, and then we'll get back to analyzing this game.
Mike, real quick, here's one thing I want to give you right quick. I agree with you on the fact that the NBA has been the way it's been forever. I feel like it's been this way for about 30-plus years, and I don't disagree with you. Here's the thing that I want to give you a refreshment on. I'm a Spurs fan, and the NBA has tried to find ways to get, quote-unquote, good quality basketball out of the eyes of the public. They've just tried to, like you said, shove superstardom, individualism down everyone's throat, and try to get this marketing scheme that they have to keep working, which it is. It's still working. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, good basketball is going to win. We're going to get to a phone call here in a second, but I just want to say this. Good basketball wins at the end. Who's won the Western Conference Championship the last 2 years? Who won the NBA Championship last year? Good basketball. Not a good marketing team. Not the LA Lakers. Not the New York Knicks. Good marketing. And as much as the refs want to screw up and try and get these smaller, I mean, I'm not saying Boston's a small market because they're not. What I'm trying to say is when it comes to these, you know, quote unquote, unentertaining games, you know, off, you know, away from the postseason. Think about this. You brought up a fantastic point and you answered it yourself. Detroit and Boston play on Wednesday night. Do you think if there was a game like this on ESPN tonight, do you think that the ratings would have plummeted? I mean, granted, they wouldn't be because of the Final Four, but if a game like this would have been on tonight, tomorrow night, or something like that around those lines, I guarantee you that the referees would be like, whoa, we got to ease up. And it wouldn't just be the referees. It would be, you know, this is good basketball. I mean, yeah, okay, yes, referees dictated the outcome of the game to a degree. I mean, I'm not saying they dictated the whole, obviously the Celtics won. What I'm trying to say is the referees can do all they want all day. At the end of the day, it's the extra pass, it's the extra play, it's the extra oomph and that extra amount of effort to get that game going. The refs can't dictate that. They can call travels. They can call this. They can call that. And if it gets to the point where, like it was, I'm not going to sit here and lie. Like I said, at the end of that second quarter, where the refereeing was, I mean, I was actually debating on just turning off the game and like saying, hey, post game show, like I'm just going to rant and rave about the refs because I'm not going to talk about this game because this is a joke. But the refs eased up. They didn't do anything. But outside of that, I mean, at the end of the day, good basketball is going to get it going, and good basketball turns into entertaining basketball. And that's what the kind of basketball that transcends the way basketball has been played. This Celtics team is finally turning – I'm seriously becoming a believer after this game. You play a team like the Raptors, you played them tonight, you're gonna catch eyeballs. You're going to catch eyeballs, and me for sure. You know, through all the times I've done Celtics post-game shows, I've done about four or five now, and through all the times I've done Celtics postgame shows, I've kind of come in here and been like, all right, you know, the Celtics are, you know, they're in rebuilding mode. I understand where they're at. But I'm going to be 100% honest. The way they played tonight, I might even be on the bandwagon of thinking they might win a first-round matchup, and they might shock the entire NBA. I mean, they're not going to shock us because we've been watching them. But when it comes to the entire NBA, they might actually do it. And if the referees screw it up, they'll be all over national television. They'll be all over all these other airwaves that, you know, host these games. They'll be all over it. And the whole world will see it. And it'll only screw up the NBA more. The only saving grace the NBA has, and again, we're getting some phone calls just a second. The only saving grace the NBA has is how competitive, how intense the NBA postseason is. And if they find a way, if the refs find a way to screw that up with good basketball, and they find a way, you know, try to screw over the Celtics like they did tonight, I'm telling you, if I see Isaiah Thomas hit the floor like he did tonight, like 10 more times, I'm going to scream. This guy, when he drives the hoop, I mean, I'm not even joking you. You might as well just throw him into a bed of rocks. This guy takes everything he can to the hoop, and he gets hammered. And every time he does that, he gets no call. It's an absolute joke, and it's pathetic. And if that happens on national TV in front of millions of people watching these basketball games during the postseason, you can guarantee that there's going to be a fat investigation coming on for the NBA, because this is an absolute joke. And the Celtics will find a way to air it out. They'll find a way, because this, like you said, it was a joke. We got a caller here, 727. You've been on the line for a while. 727. Come on now. Get going. Oh, man. You're on the air, 727.
Okay, I think you've got me. This is Thirsty Boots, and I'm just listening.
Oh, you are? Okay, no problem.
Go ahead.
No problem. Okay, and then we got 415 on the air. Are you just listening as well? Go ahead, 415. Oh, he went up there. Okay. Oh, well, there we go. Okay, so we got about 5 minutes left real quick. I mean, we pretty much broke down the game. We got about 5 minutes left on the show. Again, if you'd like to call in real quick and have some comments on the game, 347-215-7771. Like I just said, I broke down the schedule. The Celtics have 5 games left in the regular season. Five. Think about that. This is game 77 tonight. Again, the Celtics win 117-116. They're now half a game up in the postseason stretch. The Celtics are right there, people. They are right there, and there are some teams right there trying to wait behind them. This is their schedule remaining. Again, they play Detroit on Wednesday night on ESPN, 7 p.m. Eastern, against the Detroit Pistons, and then they play the vaunted Cleveland Cavaliers those next 2 games, April 10th and April 12th. Then you have Tuesday, April 14th, where you have the Toronto Raptors, and then you have Wednesday at the Milwaukee Bucks. They're going to play the Raptors again, and they're going to play the Milwaukee Bucks again, the two teams that they had just played the back-to-back nights here over this weekend, Friday and Saturday, and then obviously Cleveland back-to-back. Those are playoff teams, and who knows how Cleveland's going to come out and play. Cleveland could come out in Cleveland and play a great game, and then the next night on Sunday play absolutely garbage, because you know they're pretty much wrapped up right now when it comes to the postseason and where they're going to be. I mean, unless Chicago finds a way to keep up in that central division, pretty much Cleveland's got the second spot wrapped up at this point. So from that perspective, the Boston Celtics just keep playing the way they're playing. They have pretty much three and a half days off till they go down this stretch run of 5 games. There are other teams, though, that are in the stretch run. Like Mike just said, a big, big point that really needs to be hammered home to all Celtics fans, and this needs to be taken into consideration. Like I just said, the Celtics are right now, I'm looking at the standings, it's a beautiful sight to see. The Boston Celtics are sitting in the 8th spot currently right now, as of Saturday night, April 4th, 2015, with about, like I said, 5 games left on the schedule. Miami is right on their tail, a half game back. This is Miami's schedule. This is what they got to see. They play the Pacers tomorrow night with Paul George coming in. Paul George will be in the starting rotation. And let me remind you, this team with the Indiana Pacers, if you don't remember, they have been the back-to-back Eastern Conference championships, and they've been quite competitive in those championship games. I mean, yes, last year it was kind of obviously the Heat were on another level, but the Indiana Pacers have found a way to get real far with this guy, Paul George. He's an absolute superstar in the making. We don't know how he's going to perform, obviously, coming off that injury, but he's playing. When he's on, he's definitely one of the top five, if not top ten, easily top ten basketball players in the league, maybe even top five if he's on his game. Again, breaking down the Miami schedule real quick, Charlotte, Chicago, Toronto, Orlando, Philadelphia. Basically, the only real tough test Miami's got are those first 4 games I mentioned. If the Boston Celtics can find a way to stay in that top, that spot where they're at right now, in that 8th spot, and find a way to hang on, coming down the stretch here with about basically to the final like 3 days of the regular season, the Boston Celtics will find themselves in the postseason. Because like I said, if Miami keeps playing the way they're playing, which is, I mean, they've lost 3 in a row now. They've won 5. They've lost 4 of their last 6. They've lost 6 of their last 9. They have not played good basketball as of late. They just haven't. And if the Boston Celtics can find a way to hang on and keep doing what they're doing, they'll find themselves in the postseason, and they'll do absolutely fantastic things. We're getting down to the end of the show real quick again. Like I said, the Indiana Pacers are bringing back Paul George. They're only one game out of a postseason spot. Charlotte is right there with Indiana, one game back as well. And the Pistons, I think they're done. So it's really Charlotte, Indiana, and Miami. Man, you talk about an unbelievable game tonight for the Boston Celtics. Funny that Easter is tomorrow, and that the resurrection of, you know, I don't want to just step on anyone's toes when it comes to religion, but the resurrection of Christ is tomorrow. I'm not comparing Paul George to Jesus Christ. I'm just saying it's funny that Paul George would come back on Easter. Mike Munger, anything else you want to say before we head out of here? This is a crazy, crazy game.
Well, one, I mean, listen, I think it's been pretty clear that this team is much better with Marcus Smart as a key contributor. I know Brad wasn't sure about what he was doing, what he was capable of early in the season. I didn't know he got hurt. But having Marcus Smart in the starting lineup out there, I mean, if you just look at it, it's like the pit bulls, Avery Bradley and Courtney Lee, when they were here, it's like that. But I think the intensity's turned up defensively when those two are out there on the floor. I just love seeing it. I just love seeing that energy. It's just amazing to watch. It's a lot of fun. Marcus Smart definitely has no conscience when it comes to shooting the big shot. He's willing to take it, even as a rookie. I think that's a good trait to have, because a lot of rookies wouldn't be willing to do that. It's just fun. It really is. Because looking at the rookies that we've had come through the system over the years, I don't know how many guys we've had that would be willing to take a shot like the one that he made in the corner with such pressure on him at that point in the game, especially a three-pointer. I mean, some guys might try to drive to the basket, but that was a huge clutch three-pointer off of a great drive off of Isaiah Thomas. That was just, it was just an amazing, amazing shot. I think that bodes well for him moving forward. I think the last guy that we really truly saw being willing to do that as a rookie was probably Paul Pierce. So it's going back a long ways. We've had a couple guys that have taken big clutch shots for us, but just not somebody that has that proper mentality. So I think it's a great thing. I just think it's a lot of fun watching Marcus Smart play basketball. Again, him, Avery Bradley. And you know what? Tonight, Evan Turner's like right on the cusp for me now. I've given that guy a lot of crap all season long. I despise how bad he's playing, but he's had a good stretch of games here. He made some big shots tonight. He even had some decent defense, at certain moments in this game. So, even him, he just looks like he's actually in a rhythm right now. He's playing a lot better. He's cutting down on the mistakes. A couple of the fouls that were called in tonight I thought were a bunch of crap. So, it was a great team win. A lot of guys stepped up. I mean, if you look at some of the statistics, you would say, oh, Jared Sloan had no points, but he had 7 rebounds in his second game back, 2 steals and a block. I thought it was a great game. Kelly Olynyk, I mean, I know it was a bank shot 3, but that was actually a pretty big shot that he took. He was actually willing to take it, and we were rewarded because he didn't hesitate. He just looked like he's a little bit more aggressive tonight, and I get your point about Dirk Nowitzki when you actually look at their rookie year stats. They're actually pretty similar numbers-wise. So I just thought it was a great game for Kelly Olynyk overall. He just, now that his confidence is coming back, it's good to see him. No more pump fakes. Stop the stupid pump fake. Just catch and shoot. That's what you brought here for. You're a perimeter player. There's zero reason whatsoever for him to doubt his shooting ability. Avery Bradley didn't have a great offensive game, but even though a couple of the guards actually hit some big shots, I mean, he played his usual amazing defense tonight. It was a good team win all around. Isaiah Thomas struggled a little bit at first, but then he got going, hit some big shots, was driving the rim, creating, getting to the basket. It was a lot of fun. And it's one of those ones where, again, you stick it to the NBA when they try to do to us what they did tonight. So, It was a great team win. It was fun being a Celtics fan tonight. It's always fun being a Celtics fan, but tonight's one of those games where it was a playoff atmosphere against a playoff team, and it was a good win. So I was very, very happy. I thought Brad Stevens kind of showed his genius again tonight. I know he's got a lot to live up to because of Doc Rivers being the guy that won the championship before him. But, you know, that play, the decision to call the timeout when Sullinger had the ball and just things didn't look good was a decision. It was a game-winning coaching decision right there. So, you know, kudos to Brad Stevens for doing what he did. Kudos to the Celtics team for never giving up despite, you know, the 8-on-5 odds all game long. And it was a great win. Very, very happy tonight. Go Celtics and, you know, screw the NBA.
Well, the one thing I want to say before we head out real quick, you made a great comparison that Marcus Smart's one of the better rookies we've seen come to this team since you said Paul Pierce. I want to go one up, and I'm not saying this for a current reason. I'm not saying this for a, you know, like because he's not on the team anymore, just because of overall how his career developed in Boston. But the way Rajon Rondo played his rookie year, that guy got so much better over the year in 08 when he got that team, when he held, I mean, he wasn't obviously the main focus, you know, Ray Allen and Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. Those three guys were really the main factors. But Rajon Rondo, you can make the case, and I heard this a lot as time was going forward with that team that year. Rajon Rondo made leaps and bounds as a basketball player, and he turned into what the old school kind of point guard guy that a lot of the older guys were like, wow, this Rajon Rondo guy really has the talent to be the next big thing. Unfortunately, he didn't develop into that. His personality might have taken a little bit of charge instead of what he had, you know, how he actually would have liked to perform. But I would make probably a bigger argument that Marcus Smart's been relative to that, maybe similar to Paul Pierce as well, but more similar to that with the way Rajon Rondo made leaps and bounds compared to how maybe Paul Pierce did. But anyway, the point is an unbelievable victory tonight for the Celtics. And if you're a Celtics fan, I'm telling you, people, when it comes to rebuilding and growing in this modern day NBA, as Mike Munger and I have mentioned, the NBA makes it really difficult for teams that aren't, you know, it's really a hierarchy standard. You know, if you have a superstar, it's going to be easier for you to move up because you're the new and flashy thing in the pan. Well, the Celtics don't have any of that. But one thing they do have, and I saw that tonight, they have a lot of fun. They play the game the right way. And this team, I've said this from the beginning, since the beginning of the year, and it's even more apparent as time moves forward in the rest of this season. This team, when they come in the next season having an amazing offseason, no matter what they do in the postseason, doesn't matter if they win a round in the postseason, they get to the, you know, if they finally get the Eastern Conference champion, if something crazy happens this year, this team coming into next season, I can guarantee you one thing. They're going to be looking like a team that's going to be a top five team in the Eastern Conference if they play this way on a nightly basis. I'm not trying to sit here and say they're going to play overtime, crazy, thriller, unbelievable games like this tonight. What I'm trying to say is if they play team basketball, have fun, play with that passion and intensity at important times, and they find a way to really show that they belong with the elites in the NBA. They showed it tonight, whether it was a second night of a back-to-back, late in the year, you know, referees going bonanza, you name it. This was an unbelievable victory. And these are those victories that you look back on 2-3 years down the road after you've won a title and you say, that was the game that got us to propel over one of the best teams in the NBA in the Eastern Conference. Again, the Celtics win tonight 117-116. That's the end of the postgame show here on CLNS Radio. For me, Chris Morrison, Simo Buckets, who is what people preferred called, and Mike Munger. Thank you again for listening. Have a fantastic night, and go Celtics.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.